The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. We like those words, don't we? Somewhere around 3,500 years, God's people have been blessed with those words. They make us feel good. I have a clear memory from when I was a child, probably about 10 or 11 years old. My brother and I had been working with my dad all day on a Saturday. It was after dark. We were driving home for supper in his brand new 1974 Ford pickup. And I was in the middle. My brother was on the side. And somewhere on the way home, my dad, whose love language was never touch, let his hand slip off the back of that pickup seat onto the back of my neck. And I can feel it even now. And somehow I think he was blessing me. And those words feel that way. What do they mean? Well, if you have a Bible, open to that text we've looked at before, Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 27. I want to make sure that you understand these words of blessing that we so often use in their context. Numbers 6, 22 through 27. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. So they, the priests, shall invoke, shall put My name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." We learn two basic truths, I think, in this text. The first is that we need God's blessing. Blessing, this text helps us to understand what it means when we say we need God to bless us. For God to bless us is for God to turn His face favorably toward us. Not look away from us, but look toward us. Not to ignore us, but to give us His attention. Not to frown upon us, but smile upon us. For Him to bless us, to turn favorably toward us. And in practical terms, verse 24 and 25 and 26 teach us that God's blessing is His protection and His pardon and His peace. To say God bless you means may God protect you, may He keep you. We're weak, and this world is hostile. We're not strong enough to stand on our own. May God bless you and keep you. We're sinners, too sinful to ever earn His blessing. And so God bless you means may God be gracious to you. And we, left alone, struggle through our days with a sense of emptiness and incompleteness. Something's missing. It's only in God that we find peace, shalom, wholeness, a sense of well-being. Protection, pardon, and peace that come to us from God as He turns His face favorably toward us, as He blesses us. You know, the Hebrew word bless is a little hard to understand, but somehow it seems to be connected to a Hebrew verb that means to kneel. To be blessed by God is to kneel before Him. It speaks to us somehow about our need for Him, our submission to Him. And so when we are seeking God's blessing, we're making a kind of a confession that many of us learned to make when we were children. We are weak, but He is strong. That's all wrapped up in that idea of the Lord bless you. And the benediction teaches us that we need God's blessing. But even better, this benediction, understood in its context, reminds us of something extraordinary about God. So we learn this about ourselves, that we need God's blessing. But look at what we learn about God. God initiates the blessing. To me, this is the most glorious part of this text. Whose idea was it to always close worship with this blessing? Was it something the people asked for? Was it the idea that the priests came up with, or Aaron or Moses? No. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, there's something about the character of God, the heart of God, that makes Him initiate the blessing. His commandment in verse 27 is, I want you to put my name on those people and I will bless them. And that's very important. In fact, this might be the most important thing for some of you in this room to hear today. Because some of you, because of your disposition or because of the way you were raised, you think that God's blessing is something that we've got to wring out of His closed fist. That He's hesitant to bless us, that He's reluctant to bless us. Somehow stingy in His blessings. But what this text teaches us is that it is His nature, His pleasure and desire to bless His people. He wants to bless His people. And you say, well, how can you be so sure? Well, consider Romans chapter 8, verse 32, where the Apostle Paul teaches us, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? If you ever find yourself questioning the Lord's kind inclination toward you, then all you have to do is go to Calvary. And remember that He who did not spare His Son, but freely delivered Him over for you, how will He not also freely give us all things? He wants to bless His people. And so when we consider this, that God blesses His people, do you believe that? Have you believed anything that I just said? You know, the sad thing is most people in the world don't know that, and many do not believe it. But the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, is our Lord, who is committed to blessing us. And with that background this morning, I want us to ponder this question, why? Why does God bless His people? And there are a lot of ways we could answer that question, but I particularly want to look at the way the psalmist answers that question in Psalm number 67. And what we discover in Psalm number 67 is that God blesses us on purpose. By that I mean He blesses us for His purpose. He has a particular purpose in blessing His people. And Psalm 67 helps us to see this. Now, you know this is one of my favorites, and just about any Thanksgiving I get a chance to preach Psalm 67, I will. I want to remind you that this short little psalm, just 7 verses long, is clearly a song that was used during a harvest festival of some sort. When you look at verse 6 of the psalm, you see that it's a song that's celebrating and giving thanks to God for the way that the earth has yielded its produce. It's a Thanksgiving psalm, a harvest song. It's a kind of song that we would sing at a Thanksgiving banquet. The people bring their gifts to the temple in worship, acknowledging God as their provider. They celebrate their material blessings and their spiritual heritage. And just at the end of that time of festival and that time of worship, then the priest stands up, invokes God's name, puts his name on the people, and says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." And then the psalmist, walking away, is wondering why. Why would God bless us? Notice just 3 things about the first verse of Psalm 67. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Notice 3 things. Do you hear in verse 1 the echo of Aaron's blessing? Clearly. Be gracious to us, bless us, shine your face on us. He's thinking about that Aaronic blessing. But do you notice in verse 1 a shift from the second person, plural, you, to the first person, plural, us? The priest has said, God bless you. And the psalmist is thinking, why? Thinking, God bless us? Gracious to us? His face shine upon us? And then the word Selah is a word we don't know exactly what it means, but it seems clear that it's some sort of musical interlude, likely a pause for reflection. And so what we find here, beginning in verse 2, is the psalmist reflecting on the blessing of Aaron. He's wondering why. Why does God so bless us materially and spiritually? Isn't it a fascinating thing about the human condition that we are so quick and consistent in wondering why bad things happen to good people? But we almost never wonder why so many good things happen to sinners like us. Did you have a warm bed to sleep in last night? How long has it been since you were hungry? Feared for your life, the lives of your children? In all truth, the more relevant question than why do bad things happen to good people is, why do such good things happen to scoundrels like me and you? And this is the question the psalmist is asking. It's a very important question for us to ask this time at Thanksgiving. So let's see what answer he comes up with, Psalm 67. Be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. The organ plays and we ponder. Verse 2, look at the first word. That. Do you understand that word? That's a word that introduces a purpose clause. That's a word that begins to answer the question, why? Why bless us? Here's the answer. Lord, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. This is a psalm that moves focus from God's blessing us with the gospel, with our jobs, with our health, with our wealth, to God's concern for all the earth, the nations, the peoples. It's very important when you read this text that you see that S on the end of people repeatedly. Let the peoples praise you. And that's not how the Old Testament refers to a lot of people. That's the way the Old Testament refers to all the different kinds of people. Not just people like me, but people who are not like me. Not just people who speak my language, but people who do not speak my language. Not only people who live on my continent, but people who live on every continent. Every tribe and tongue and nation, to use the language of the book of Revelation. The peoples, may the peoples praise you. That's the psalmist's concern. And when in verse 2 he says that your way be known in all the earth, remember that when the Bible, especially the Old Testament, talks about the way of the Lord being known, it's talking about an experiential knowledge. It's talking about, may people know you, Lord, your way and your salvation. May they be familiar enough with you and have enough personal knowledge of you that they would praise you. That they would praise you. Derek Kidner, great Old Testament scholar, titles Psalm 67, "The Spreading Circle." Like the ripples from a stone dropped into water, our blessings and thanksgivings spread and spread and spread. And he notes in this psalm a spread from material blessings to spiritual blessings, and a spread from a focus on my provision to God's purpose, and a spread from personal or national celebration to global concern. It is altogether appropriate for you and I to thank God for his blessings on me and my family. And it is altogether appropriate for our nation to set aside a day in which we thank God for his blessings on our nation. But Psalm 67 tells us that it's terribly inappropriate and incomplete for us to stop there. Because the people of God are never only concerned about the people of God. We're concerned about the peoples. And the people of God always have a concern that's moving from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. When Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations," he's echoing Psalm 67, isn't he? And so we learn from Psalm 67 that God hasn't blessed us because we're cute. He's blessed us because he has a purpose in it. He hasn't blessed us because we're better. He's blessed us in his grace and for his purpose. And his design and desire is that men and women of every tribe and tongue and nation would be gathered around his throne, knowing him and singing his praise. So, every time the people of God gather together to soak in and celebrate his blessing, we need to remember why. That they might know him. Bow your heads with me for prayer. Father, we praise you for the gospel story that we read in your word. And we rejoice that in your providence and plan, you have chosen and blessed a people like us, a church like this, a nation like ours, with unequaled resources, unmatched freedom, unhindered opportunity to get the gospel to the nations. We see this morning through your word, Lord, that that's no accident, not a coincidence. It's your purpose. You've not blessed us so that we might be comfortable. You've blessed us so that the nations would know and the peoples would praise you. And I pray, Father, that this year, in the coming weeks, as we celebrate and give thanks to you for your blessings, we'd remember why. In just a moment, we're going to sing together a great missionary hymn. And we'll sing it as an opportunity to respond to God's word and to his Holy Spirit, reminding us that there are so many in the world who still do not know that God's desire and design is to bless them through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we're singing this hymn, some may come forward to join our church. Maybe you want to come to pray. Maybe confess the sin of selfishness, materialism, misuse of his great blessing. Some maybe have never come to a personal faith in Christ. You realize today that Jesus died on the cross for you, to bless you, so that you might know him and praise him. This invitation is your opportunity. Let's respond to God's word and his spirit as we stand together.